You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello. Welcome back. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. It's episode 58, y'all. July 31st. I actually said last week, I just realized because I completely did the date wrong on last week's episode. I'm sure I said it because I read it, because I wrote it down wrong, which means I said it wrong. But last week I said that it was July 25th on the Wednesday, when last Wednesday was actually July 24th. Now, this doesn't mean anything. It hasn't affected anything other than I've spent the last week thinking the date was a day ahead the whole week. I've been confused the entire week. Nobody corrected me. Nobody at any point questioned what I said. Oh, yeah, no, it's the 27th. It wasn't the 27th. It was the 26th when I said that. This is like at work. I'm sure I screwed up some things because you're supposed to write the date down when you store food items in a restaurant. Luckily, the time has passed now, so you can't get in trouble for it now. But at least it was a date ahead. Nope, that's actually worse. But yeah, so I think if I helped anyone store food at work in the past week, it was stored under the wrong date because nobody questioned me giving the wrong information, which is unfortunate. Doesn't mean anything. I don't think anything's happened. Everything's fine, but I feel a little off. Like, I didn't realize it till just now when starting this new file for this week's episode that it's the 31st, because I thought I had to pay rent. I have to pay rent by the 3rd, like most people. Like a 3rd is the last day that you can pay before you get late fees. So I was like, shit. Well, Friday is the 3rd. I've got to pay rent. This is going to cut it close because I get paid on Friday. But then I have to pay rent on Friday. So somehow I'm going to have to deposit my check early in the morning. Hopefully it'll clear and then I can go online and then I'll pay rent at my apartment. But I'll do it at night. You know, so it's way later, so that all of this is unnecessary because Friday is not the 3rd. Friday is the 2nd. Saturday is the 3rd. So I've been mind-fucking myself for no reason because I've had the date wrong for a week because none of you corrected me. But that's fine. That's all right. I don't blame you for my mistake. I do think it's strange that I was not corrected for a week, but maybe people did and I didn't listen to them because I'm that full of myself. Maybe it is all me. Maybe the responsibility is all mine. So anyway, it's been a good day. I'm doing all right. I have some things to talk about, I guess. I mean, personal things. Like, I've had... All right, now this is very specific. This is for guys. This is for straight men, because I don't think gay men have had this same problem. But I'm just wondering if there are other straight men who are listening. Who have you noticed that every time that you change something about yourself for the better, where you start doing something a little bit more responsible, more adult. For example, in my case, getting a real bed, getting a queen-size bed versus what I had, which was a California twin, which is basically like, hey, it's like a prison bed, but for tall guys. Are you still in a sober house, John? But now you're in your own place, but you still sleep like you're, you know, serving time. Like, I got rid of that, and then I got a real bed. And I didn't just go to, a full-size, big boy bed. I went to a queen-size bed. And I'm like, man, I'm that much more of an adult now in my 40s. And I'm just wondering, for other dudes out there, have you noticed that when you do things like this, where you become more of an adult in the eyes of society, that you did it, like every time you've done it in your life, that you did it because either because your mom told you to, or because someone you were dating suggested that you do it? In other words, have you done any of this on your own, or was it all motivated by either somebody you wanted to sleep with or your mom? Hopefully those are two separate things. But I'm just wondering if anybody else has noticed, shit, is this like the only way I become a better person is by dating someone who goes, hey, you know what you ought to do? Brush your teeth. Or something like that, Maybe you should use a top sheet like a person. Incidentally, I did see, there was a debate online amongst our friends, and there's a lot of people in the younger generation that don't use a top sheet. They just use a comforter, and that's fucking gross, because there's no way you wash that comforter every week. You're just sleeping in your own filth. That's junkie behavior, everyone. Use a top sheet. Anyway, I'm just wondering if the only way basically women have to motivate straight dudes into actually being not gross or not teenagers. And it would be nice if I could actually motivate myself on my own, which I have. That's how I got sober. Obviously I did a lot of this stuff myself, with help, but it was motivated by me. But there's little things that I never would have really done had I not had my girlfriend going, hey, you know what you ought to try? You know what you ought to do? Kind of a thing. So I've got a few other things that have happened. I can't get the song I'm Going Through Changes out of my head, because I just got a passport. I'm not leaving anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. In case I gotta get the fuck out of America, I'm going to Canada. I don't know. I might go to Canada to visit. But I got a passport, so I can. Obviously, an encouragement by my girlfriend. She's like, I get a passport, so you can go with me if we want to go do something fun instead of going, I'm a felon, I don't know if I can leave the country, which is kind of my default argument. But then I can give me a passport, which is stupid, because they will. They gave me a passport because I'm a convicted felon, I'm not convicted of smuggling drugs or dealing drugs. It's a DWI felony. And I'm not on probation. And I got everything taken care of. I'm a real boy. John, you're a real boy. Yeah, so I got that. So that's huge. I'm a glasses-wearing person again. I still have my contacts, but I got new glasses. The last time I bought glasses, George W. Bush wasn't president yet, I think. Or he might have just became president. It may have been the election year. So 2001, maybe, was the last time I bought glasses. And I've only occasionally worn them. And it's only my eyes are bloodshot because I won't buy new contacts. Maybe I should try the glasses for a few days till that clears up. That kind of bullshit. So I had talked to my doctor, eye doctor, and he was like, hey, you should get glasses and not wear contact lenses for, 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day. You might want to just kind of, give your old ass eyes a break. So I did that finally. And it's weird. I look, I don't know. You know what? I may just use that as the picture for this week's episode, just so that people can go, what? But yeah. And they do. They make me look smart and shit. No, it makes me look older, I think. But like normal-ish. I don't know. Kind of like I'm trying to be hip. I like them though. I really do. Little vintage frame. So I got that going for me as well. And then I got so used to when my girlfriend had that surgery and she was recovering. Well, while she was on medical leave recovering, I was using her scooter, which is like this buddy. It looks like a Vespa, this sky blue Vespa I was driving around, which had a fanny pack on the front with a Lone Star flag. A Lone Star flag fanny pack on the front of a sky blue Vespa, and then me riding around. I'm very secure in myself and my relationship, and I was able to pull it off. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. So I gave her back the scooter because she can ride it again. And I really thought about it, and I had the money. It was going to just take out my savings to buy myself a scooter. I was sitting there once again, my girlfriend, going back to the, you know, are you going to grow on your own, or do you need a little bit of encouragement from a well-adjusted female who wants you to not look like an idiot? She reminded me, she just kind of said, look, isn't this what you're saving money for important decisions, so that you don't have to ride the bus or pay way too fucking much money on Lyft, Uber, you know, on rideshare stuff? I mean, when you're just going to places like within 2 to 3 miles of each other. And yeah, I mean, why else was I saving the money? It was for something important. This is important. This is traveling around. And I haven't really driven or, you know, piloted a vehicle in almost, it's been over 9 years. It's been almost a decade I have not been on the road. And a little bit of it was kind of like, it was just kind of an excuse of kind of keeping things, like I was minimalizing things in my life. Like, for affordability, I didn't want a car. I just didn't want car payments. Didn't want to pay all that gas. Just didn't, but a little bit of it was kind of punishing myself for driving drunk for a decade. I kind of felt like maybe I won't drive at all for a decade. This will be like penance. You know what? This is, it's an interesting fit. I got this Roadhouse. It's not Roadhouse. What is it called? Rough House Sport scooter. Which is it's a two-stroke engine, which is basically, it looks like, my scooter looks like it used to belong to RoboCop, but it's run by a lawnmower. Like it's a lawnmower built with a RoboCop motorcycle frame. It looks really cool, and it's loud as shit, like me. But it's fucking great, man. And it does. It makes you kind of feel more like a real person. It's cool. It's like, you know, I'm riding around. So, and I'm wearing a helmet. By the way, nobody tell my mother I have a scooter, because she's going to think motorcycle and she's going to be afraid for me and be like, are you sure? Are you being really safe? I am being really safe. I actually drive it around like an old man, just like I've always driven like I'm an old person, except when I was drunk, then I was an idiot. But sober John drives around like an old man. Some would argue I am an old man, but like when I was in my 20s, I still drove the speed limit. I really didn't. That's how much I hated talking to the cops, is that I did not speed. So she didn't have to worry. But regardless, at some point I'm going to have to tell her. But, you know, and you're like, doesn't your mom listen to your podcast? No, she doesn't, because I say the F word too much, and that's a mother deterrent. So if, you know, I know my brother listens to this. James, don't fucking tell her. I will tell her, just not today. She calls me later. I know it was you, Fredo. So anyway, yeah, it's been really good changes, man. It's been really good. It's yet another step to being like normalizing, like not living life like you're like you're still in the sober house, really. Like that's just like, oh, I'm not in the sober house, but I still live the same way. You know, like suddenly I think that I'm a monk. Like you're living like a monk in the middle of the city or some shit. You know, like not following any religion, but you're doing everything else, you know, like that. So it's nice to kind of to grow a little bit and start doing. And it fits me so well because it's, you know, the way scooters work, you fill the tank on like $1.85. Like not even $2 and the tank's full. And you're like, are you seriously? It's crazy. So it's been a kind of, it's also been kind of stressful because I have to actually pay attention to money. Normally I just kind of put it away and don't look at it. And then, it's been exciting. And I know that being, a retired alcoholic and junkie, that I don't like to feel things, that I like everything to be even keel and excitement. I'm like, nah, I don't want to feel things, but it's been exciting. It's, you know, some anxiety, obviously, but it's been a good week. And I hope it's been a good week for you. I did not ask. Sorry. It's all been all about me for the first 17 minutes. And that's, but I hope you guys are doing well as well. So, okay. I had to cut right in. I had to pause earlier and then I had to cut this. So, I have to tell you what just happened. So my apartment complex was having fire inspections. So they were having, like the maintenance guy bringing, firefighters by. We're checking our fire extinguisher and smoke alarms, you know, shit that you're supposed to do. So they come in and there's three firefighters and they look like firefighters. They're you know, big laid back dudes, right? And they're checking them. And of course, they're going to have to come back and replace one of my smoke detectors because it apparently is so old they want to put it in a museum. So that's not good. And as they were leaving, they looked and I have this coffee table that has like a glass top that's clear that you can put underneath it. You can put like stuff like for decoration. And what I put in there is like this printed up. It's a mock catalog, like fashion catalog, but it's with all that they did for the movie Fight Club, which is like different scenes and stuff. And it's this mock-up of, you know, oh, the jacket, blah, 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 and all this stuff. So I laid all that out. So it's basically a Fight Club coffee table. And it goes with these two drawings that I have of Ed Norton and Brad Pitt's characters on the wall. You know, so it's obvious I'm a fan of the movie. So they kind of look at it and they're like, oh, wow. And they were just kind of commenting on it and just kind of looking at it and like, oh, yeah. And there's the thing. And I'm like, yeah, it just kind of goes with this. And it's a, you know, just a big fan. And one of them was like, man, I haven't seen that movie in a while. And then another firefighter goes, you know, I just saw a thing where it was actually from the perspective of Marla, because, and they were arguing for the point that the whole time, you know, Ed Norton's the narrator's trying to be Tyler Durden, But in fact, the problem with that is that, you know, Tyler goes way off, to danger, a dangerous level of fascism, when in fact, what he really wants is to be more like Marla, because Marla is more actually cares about people, you know, dying, and is actually more along the line of where he, you know, doesn't care and where they're supposed to be. And I went, yeah, because she's all, you know, she effortlessly already hit bottom and doesn't give a shit and all this other stuff. And then another, and the other firefighter is just like, it's like, yeah, because I mean, that's the whole thing, is that it's like, you know, it's like this group for all dudes and all this other stuff, but it turns out all he really wanted was the girl, and, you know, finding love was kind of the whole point. And I'm just kind of looking, I'm going, who the fuck are you guys? Like, what is just happening here? And the other guy goes, man, this is the movie we're going to watch tonight at the station. And then they left. That was nuts. That was just... I'm like, did you guys just have a philosophy discussion on the movie Fight Club, which I love, by the way, in my apartment? And will you, you know, it's like I almost want to just start a fire like every other day so that they can come back in and go, guys, all right, today let's discuss Pulp Fiction. Let's go. Let's just discuss a different movie. That was awesome. So... AFD, man. Austin Fire Department. Love those guys. And finally, today, I wanted to share this with you. I don't know if it'll work for you, but it's something that works for me. So I thought I would pass it along. And it has to do with getting into unnecessary fights and arguments and smack talking online, whether, you know, in comment sections or in Facebook, just anything, anywhere where you can voice an opinion and then retort to someone else voicing their opinion, any place like that. Because as you probably have noticed, most people are very brave online. They are all about exposing and telling off somebody who said a thing or did a thing, and let's get them, and really putting their foot down and like, this is what I think, yeah, and you know, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, doesn't matter, everybody has their thing. But they don't do that in person, because it's harder to do in the real world when you're face to face with a real person. You know, your empathy kicks in. Maybe you don't feel like being such a loud asshole because they're right there. Maybe you're scared to be a loud asshole because they're right there. Maybe they're a lot bigger than you thought they were. You don't have enough alcohol to be that asshole that you want to be. So it makes sense, because, you know, anybody can be tough in their bedroom to their phone or laptop. So I've always kind of tried to make sure I was the same person online as well as off. But I've even gone further now. Now I actually try not to engage at all online. I honestly don't have the, it's not even so much of a moral thing or like some kind of, you know, decision. Like, I just don't have the energy. I can't commit to continuing to, you know, talk smack to some random Yahoo online. So I've kind of tried to do the reverse, where I will call shit out in person, you know, whether I'm completely right or not, you know, if this is something I feel I'm going to do it, just because, you know, it's better than saying nothing. And I think I've covered that on a previous podcast or two or three maybe, but I've thought about it, you know, so like I tried to reverse it to where online I'm not going to bicker. If it's making a funny comment to on to one of my buddies, we'll totally do that. You know, but even then, not so much. And what I've learned, what I've kind of started doing, and this is what's really been helpful for me, is if I feel myself about to, or if I type out something like I'm going to say something and I'm going to comment and go, like some kind of snarky bullshit, I actually have like an accountability partner, or actually if, quite honestly, there's like three or four of them. And it's, I don't know, it's an associate, accomplice, or an accountability partner, whatever you want to call them. But this is a person, this is a person or a little group that I will share what's going on that I see online and then make the comment to them. That way, somebody else gets to see the joke that I make, so that I get that kind of satisfaction, that so that attention addiction that we all have because of social media and our phones, I can alleviate that a little bit by having people go, yeah, that was fucking funny, for example. And I'm going to share this because I don't care. The context is not important, really. There was a post in a stupid Facebook group where a guy was being genuine and he was angry about something, and it was legit anger, or it was a legit problem that he was talking about. And in the first draft, he misspelled the word conscience. And so this idiot who thinks he's a comedian, but he's not, he just has done open mic a few times, and all of a sudden, hey, I'm a comic. He's really not. He comments underneath him, and his name's Isaac. That's I-S-A-C. I-S-A-C. So that's important. So, and he goes, okay. And were you trying to spell conscience? And I decided to comment, and I immediately deleted it, but I screenshot it because I didn't want to get into it. But I decided to comment underneath there, was your mom trying to spell Isaac? Because there's only one I in it, only one A in it, and there's supposed to be two. And it's really funny. And I sent it to my friends to go, huh? And they all went, that's fucking hilarious. And I went, yeah, but I had deleted it because honestly, I don't feel like this kid has way more energy than I do. And I didn't feel like trading barbs for 2 days just because he's a dumb shit. So that's what I did. I basically screenshot it, typed it out, sent it to people, and went, eh. And they're like, that's pretty good. And that was enough, honestly. I was like, yeah, thank you. I thought it was pretty funny. And just having a couple people do that, it saved me 5 to 10 minutes of my life that would have been wasted going back and forth with an inept human being who has a stupid spelled name. So I'm just saying, you may want to consider that if you find that you have problems with debating and arguing and trading insults with people online, and you want to kind of taper off of doing that bullshit, get yourself an accountability partner to go, hey, can I send you dumb shit and my commentary on it, and have them do that to you too? And I don't know, helps me. And that way you look, because also you don't run the risk of looking bad, looking stupid. Because if the joke doesn't hit, then everybody can see that your stupid comment, because there's nothing worse than a comment where somebody's trying to be funny and it's not. Especially if it's a comment underneath a post that is perfectly funny and fine by itself. It needs no additional commentary. And then somebody posts something, and then everybody, you can just feel it when you read it. You just this kind of this, Jesus. So, I don't know. That's my suggestion. It's been working for me. That's it for this week, you guys. That's it. I'm definitely going through changes. I've got glasses, a scooter, and a passport. watch me go. I've got no money, so I'm not doing anything but being able to see clearly on a bike. But I hope you have a good week. Stay sober if you want to be sober. If you're not sober, try to stay sane. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. Later.